7 minutes to 11 o'clock. We're here till midday. 51552 is our text, and at Dave Fanning Show is our Twitter address. I want to draw your attention now to something that's on over Christmas on the telly, and New Year's Day to be precise. It's a 90-minute film. It's called SEO Trot, an adaptation of Roald Dahl's story, SEO Trot. That's right, that's what it's called, SEO Trot. It's tortoise backwards, by the way. And it's on New Year's Day, 6:30, BBC One, a 90-minute thingy. Now, what many people won't know about this is that it's a 90-minute film featuring none other than Dustin Hoffman and Judi Dench. It was directed by a Sligo woman, Emmy Award-winning director Dervla Walsh. Dervla, how are you?
I'm very good, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good indeed. Let's take a look at all this thing here. What are we talking about? Because Richard Curtis is very much involved across the way. And for those who don't know the Richard Curtis, he is a one-man industry, About Time, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Love Actually, Notting Hill, Blackadder, Mr. Bean, Vicar of Dibley. So it's a romantic comedy par excellence, I presume.
It is a romantic comedy par excellence. It was actually adapted by both Richard Curtis and Paul Mayhew Archer, and they co-wrote The Vicar of Dibley, and they worked together as a team occasionally. The idea first came to Richard. He was reading, it was one of the many Roald Dahl stories he read to his kids, and he said to his friend, who is producer Hilary Bevan-Jones, that he thought it would make a beautiful film. And the book itself, the story itself, it's actually one of Roald Dahl's lesser-known stories, and I believe it's lesser-known because it's the most off-putting title if you saw it on the shelf, Ezio Trot. What does it mean? Unless you know the story, it's quite a confusing title. So, as you said, Ezio Trot is tortoise spelled backwards, and we've called the film Roald Dahl's Ezio Trot to help with understanding what it is, because the film, the book itself is an incredibly slight story. It's 56 pages long, half of which are Quentin Blake's beautiful pictures. So it's a love story between Mr. Hoppy and Mrs. Silver, and they live in a tall building in the centre of London, and Mr. Hoppy has two passions in his life, and one is gardening. He has the most beautiful balcony looking out over London that is a riot of colour, and the only colour in the front of this tall grey building. And his second love in his life is Mrs. Silver, who lives downstairs.
But unfortunately, Mrs. Silver is in love with her tortoise. Sorry, start that again. Unfortunately, Mrs. Silver loves her tortoise and nobody else and nothing else.
Well, so it appears. Basically, the story is about loneliness. It's a love story, and we meet two lonely people who don't appear lonely, who are just getting on with life. They're not full of self-pity or anything like that. And she gets a pet tortoise, which she calls Alfie, and then becomes all concerned that even though she's feeding Alfie and loving Alfie and minding him, and he's a gorgeous little chalet that he stays on her front, on her balcony, he just doesn't appear to be growing, and she shares her problem with him. Mr.
Hoppy comes up with a devious plan to have a happy ending. So we'll just leave it at that bit for the moment.
Yes,
now,
I think yes.
You were brought on board on this. I mean, you were like, you've done so many things. I mean, I didn't even like the stuff you've done. Like, you've won the IFTA for The Silence, but the Primetime Emmy Award, of course, which is the equivalent of the Oscars for television for your BBC adaptation. Was it BBC for Little Dorrit?
Yes, for Charles
Dickens, which is a huge series of 14 or 15 episodes, whatever. And you've done The Tudors and Penny Dreadful, and you were doing a Borges thing in a New York hotel, and you were sent this script. Why did this one jump out at you?
Because it was an absolute page turner. Normally, when you pick the script to read, it's with a deep trepidation, because the rest of your life is, or certainly the next year of it, and then by association, the rest of your life is going to be affected by it, because if you love it, you're going to you're interested in working on the story, and if not, it's that's that. But this, so when you're reading a script, you can't stop your brain thinking about how might I do this, who would work in this, how would I film it. But this was one of these scripts that I started reading, and I really didn't think I was going to love it, because a three-hander between Mr. Hoppy and Mrs. Silver and a tortoise, it seemed not exactly something that I'd be very excited about. But once I started reading, I just couldn't.
Okay, so you felt, Dervla, that you had to do this, and you were going to do this in Ireland, and then something else happened, something bigger than you or Ireland or a tortoise, and that is Judi Dench came on board. So whatever Judi wants, Judi gets.
Yes, the lady is a dame for a couple of reasons. One, because she's extraordinary, and the second, she read the script and absolutely loved it. Said, "I really want to be Mrs. Silver," but she had two conditions. conditions, and one was to work a 5-day week, and the second was sleep in her own bed at night.
So to sleep in her own bed at night, she doesn't have a bed in Ireland, so it had to be filmed in England, right? It had to be done in London. Okay, fine. Now, you get Judi Dench on board, right? Okay, then you realise, wow, this is really going somewhere now. This is pretty big. And then the next thing you get on board is one of the most famous actors in the history of Hollywood, which is Dustin Hoffman. How did all that happen?
Well, it took a while because first Judy came on board and we were due to start filming, and actually we didn't have we didn't have a co-star. So we stopped and picked it up again the following year. And during that year, at Christmas of that year, we got a call to say Dustin had read the script in the meantime and absolutely loved us, loved the idea of being in a British film, loved the idea of working with Judi Dench. They'd never met before and really loved the character. And so next thing, Dustin was on board. So who would have thought? And we went to LA that summer and I spent a week rehearsing with him and talking through the script and talking through his character. And I spent a couple of days down in Judy's gorgeous house in south of London and working with her. And then we were due to start filming and then we had to stop again because Dustin got ill and Judy needed a new knee. So we had to delay for another year. So we stopped and then we started again this year.
Okay, listen, I'm going to stop and start again as well because we were going to ring you earlier on, but you didn't answer your blinking phones. We had to play a song. So listen, I'll tell you what, we're going to drag this over the news, okay? Because I want to hear about the knee and I don't necessarily want to hear about Dustin's illness, but I want to hear what it was like checking out Dustin in LA as well. And we'll do that after the news. All right, sure. We're talking to Dervla Walsh, by the way. We're talking about SEO Trot. It is 6:30 on New Year's Day, which is Thursday week on BBC, and it's a big new 90-minute thing that you've made. So we'll be back in a minute.
Breakfast Republic, weekdays from 6 a.m. on 2FM.
Joan, New Grange Obscured by Clouds, which reminds me when I use that phrase, that will Pink Floyd be in the Fab 50 this year? That's a bit of a link and a half there for Pink Floyd fans. Anyway, whether they are or not, they have been in previous years, you can check it all out. The Fab 50 countdown is voted by you Monday night and Tuesday night here on 2FM between 10 and 1 each night over 6 hours. Now we're talking to the woman from County Sligo. Dervla, how are you doing? Are you alright?
I'm good.
Okay, let's just get this right now. It's SEO Trot, it's 6:30, it's BBC, it's Thursday week, it's a brand new thing that nobody has seen before, and it's on the telly for 90 minutes or thereabouts. Now, where were we? Yes, we were at Judy Dench's knee. Tell me, Judy has a dodgy knee. She had to get a new one, did she?
She had to go get a new one, a second new one, and she has the busiest schedule in the world, so we literally moved to this year to her window to film in May and June.
And was she lovely to work with, Dervla?
She was well and truly extraordinary. Both of them were. They say don't meet your heroes, and I met two of them, and I have nothing but the most wonderful things to say about.
Speaking of which, by the way, Dustin had a bit of a hero in his life, and it was Judy. He's never met Judy before. He saw her in Mr. Brown and thought she was fantastic. And he rings her up, and she's in the middle of a play. He doesn't realise. They said, listen, would you get off the shagging phone? I've got to get back on stage. And then they met. Did they get on together when they met?
It was a real life love story. Dustin kept saying, if only I'd met you 30 years ago. Thankfully, he's happily married to his second wife, and they had just had their first grandchild, and to Lisa Hoffman. And but he and Judy just loved each other. He was like a schoolboy around her.
And how long did you spend in LA?
It made actually the love story very easy.
Absolutely. How long did you spend in LA with him? And like, were you in his house just going through the whole thing, talking tourists?
Yeah, I spent a week with him in his office in West Hollywood, and we literally turned up each morning and sat in his office, and we page turned, went through the script. He had various observations and ideas and questions, and and it was kind of, because on the page, again, they're very simply drawn characters, Mr. Hoppy and Mrs. Silver, and she loves to dance. She is a joie de vivre, is kind of the essence of her character, and she loves to dance, and she asks him, can you dance, Mr. Hoppy? And he says, oh, no, I'm not a dancer. And she says, of course, there's no such thing as not being able to dance, just not having met the right person to dance with. So the clue is in Mr. Hoppy. He's got a little hop that comes to life at the end of the story. And she, Mrs. Silver, she's every cloud is a silver lining. So Roald Dahl is very, there's a reason why his stories have endured, and he's written for adults and children.
This is for adults and children, even though it's about a man, a woman and a tortoise, and he's older, she's older, and he wants to be with the tortoises, basically, is what the story is. So let's just take a look at one other thing I want to mention here, because besides Dustin Hoffman, besides Judi Dench, and having it called Roald Dahl's SEO Trot, and having everything in place, etc., I presume the Roald Dahl estate, the BBC, the agents, do you have to deal with all that kind of stuff too and kind of drag you down?
I did have to deal with it at some level, though ultimately the producer's dealing with the cold face of it. But I have to say, dragged me down, or definitely not, are not words I'd use. I dealt with them right at the very beginning when I met Roald Dahl's daughter and the lady who runs the Dahl estate. And her first question, or her biggest question to me was, this is one of my father's least dark books. Actually, some people would say there's no darkness in it at all. Are you nervous of that? It's potentially a sentimental story. And then that's when we discussed how the darkness, I thought, in the story was about loneliness and not being able to reach out and connect with the person beside you. And if you don't dare to, one is left a lonely person. So the theme of this is loneliness. And then at the end, the Dahl, actually we had a visit from Luke Dahl, who was Roald Dahl's grandson, to whom the book is dedicated, and he came on set. So that was a very exciting moment, but also exciting for him, because here was a book that his grandfather dedicated to him, and that he spent his life reading. And then he walked on set and into Mr. Hoppy's apartment and Mrs. Silver's, and he said it was just extraordinary.
Well, listen, Dervla, I'm going to assume that you were nervous working with these guys and getting it all together, but I'm not even going to ask that question. But were they nervous working with you? They're kind of going, Dervla, what? Who the hell is she?
I absolutely, as nervous as I was, I would say they were twice as nervous, because the chances they've had a fabulous full careers, and that they could finally.
And by the way, is there a leap of trust also from them in terms of, like, I know that like the doors have swung so wide open that TV is nearly bigger than the big screen these days, and box sets and all the rest, and longer narratives and stories with bigger arcs and 25 part episodes, etc. But having said that, like, it is a leap of trust for these, like, you know, big screen stalwarts to go to the small screen as well, is it?
I think a leap of trust, more so on Dustin's part, because Judy actually started her screen life on the TV, and her first film role was at 57, and that was a TV movie that Harvey Weinstein saw, Mrs. Brown, and he then wanted it. He then, bought it for cinema, and then her cinema career started. She was told as a young woman that she didn't have a face for the screen, that her face just wasn't matching and right and wouldn't work on TV. So for Judy, it was less of a leap, and she's done Cranford, and also she has a long career in the theatre, and she is at her heart absolutely works for the story and is a grafter, loves to work. She gets so irritated by people saying, when is she going to retire and what's it like being so old? And she says to her, age is just a number. And from the very beginning, it was, why would I? She remembered her father, who was a doctor, always saying to her, why would you retire to do nothing?
Okay.
For Dustin, it was a much bigger, a much greater leap.
But I get the impression that from your point of view, like, it's been such a happy whole time. Now, you did tell me before once, like, I don't know, as you were driving through Donnybrook one afternoon and the phone rings, traffic lights are okay. Hello? Who? Dustin, who? Did he ring you, like, and you were there in your car and you had to kind of...
That was very funny. Yeah, I was literally driving through Donnybrook and it's, hello, could I speak to Dervla, please? And
Dervla.
I'm like, yeah, this is Dervla. I was like, this is Dervla. This is Dustin Hoffman. And I went, oh, Dustin, hi, how are you? Actually, Dustin, I'm just stuck in traffic. Can I call you back in 10 minutes? And I think he thought that quite funny. First of all, that I wasn't able to speak to him immediately, but second of all, that I was stuck in traffic, because everybody in LA has their phone calls stuck in traffic.
Yeah, of course.
So we spoke a little later, and then we just spoke all the time. He writes, he rings, he texts.
Right. And by the way, the amount of tortoises, I presume no tortoises were harmed in the making of this film, but I presume you've used, what, about 50 or 100 tortoises? Or
100 tortoises, yes.
What's the plural for tortoises? The tortoises?
Tortoise, or First AD used to call them.
Get up.
But, we 100 tortoises. We had a wonderful tortoise wrangler called Mark Amy.
Yeah,
a tortoise wrangler called Mark Amy.
What's a tortoise wrangler?
That is it. His job is to make. We went through the script and went through the tortoises had to do do certain action throughout the film. One of them being
like jump through hoops and
fishing
things.
Rod. Not quite jumping, but they literally had to dangle from fishing rods, and so it was like there were action sequences with the tortoise. They had to fall from balconies and land in shopping bags, go race across a room, and poo on command.
Poo on command. I see.
So Mark had to train the tortoise. So we had a special the hero tortoise.
And Dermot Alfie is the one, of course. That's the main one who isn't gaining weight, even though he or she is eating. Anyway,
exactly,
I presume it's a he.
Yeah.
Now listen, I presume is the tortoise a metaphor for something? Like, I mean, Mr. Hoppy is like a tortoise coming out of his shell. Is that the way it is?
Yeah.
Is it?
Absolutely. The tortoise is a metaphor for a man who is stuck in his shell, who stays in his own life. Like, his apartment is his little shell in the centre of London. He's retired. His life is very small. And then love pushes him out of his shell.
Okay, well, look, I'll tell you what. It's 6:30 on Thursday week, which is New Year's Day, a brilliant day for television because everybody is fed up with 2 weeks of going out and all the rest of it. So it's a big new one on BBC One, 6:30. It's about 90 minutes or thereabouts. Dervla Walsh is the director of all this. Now, Dervla, just finally, a question of all this. I mentioned Tudors and Penny Dreadful and Borgia, and you've got the Emmy for Little Dorrit and The Silence and The IFTA and all the rest of it, etc. I presume now you must have a major taste for the big screen, to the point where, is there any big screen Dervla Walsh coming around the corner?
Well, hopefully. I mean, it's a long, slow... making movies is a bit like being a tortoise. It takes a long time to get from A to B. It's a very slow process compared to the hare that television production is, which moves at such a pace. So there are two different films at the moment that I'm working on that are in development, but it is a slow process.
Okay, and I presume it's back to Tubber Curry. Is it back to Tubber Curry for Christmas?
Back to Tubber Curry. I'll be driving home for Christmas tomorrow morning, and then with my sister and dad there on Christmas morning, and then we'll travel to my brother and his wife and his two gorgeous kids, Luca and Danny, who are just on the road. They've just left the thing with their auntie for this for this weekend, so they're on the road back west at the moment.
All right, well, listen, good luck with the Dervla. May the road rise with you, and have a safe journey over to Sligo, and thanks a million for talking to us. Once again, Roald Dahl's SEO Trot. It's 6:30 Thursday week, New Year's Day, BBC One. Thanks a million, Dervla. Good luck.
Okay.
All right,
happy
take it
Christmas.
Easy. Bye.
Take
good
care,
luck.
Dave.
Take it easy.
Bye.
All right, bye. Now, will I play an